A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Megillah Daf Yud, Megillah 10b, pagination page 20. About 15 lines from the top, there's a two dots at the end of a line. Vayihi bimei Achashverosh. The Gemara over here designates a considerable amount of space towards understanding the Megillah of Esther and to giving an overview so that we should appreciate the story. The Gemara maintains in the beginning of the statement that the words Vayihi bimei Achashverosh should be understood from the letters Vav Yud Vay, meaning woe, something terrible is about to happen, a difficult situation. The monarchy of Achashverosh, the difficulty that the Jews encountered with Haman, it was a difficult time. In the words of Rabbi Yonasan, as the lines get wide, Davarze misoris biadeno mi'anshei Knesset HaGadola, we have a tradition from the Anshei Knesset HaGadola who codified Tanakh, Jewish scripture. Komokom shenemar vayihi eino elo lashon tsar, that when the word vayihi is used, which simply means, and it was, it has a double meaning. They used that word because it has a connotation of vay. We find that generally in language, that you could use a word that also has different connotations. Besides its definition, there's an aura to the word or a code to the word. And therefore, vayihi is vay, woe, something difficult is being encountered in the story that we're about to relate. The Gemara challenges that and says that we could find a number of cases where it says vayihi and there was nothing bad going on. And therefore, the Gemara, about 10 lines into the wide, in the middle of the line, Amar Ravashi, Ravashi explained, Kol vayihi ikahachi viikahachi. When you have the word vayihi, sometimes it is negative, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it just means vayihi, and it was. And sometimes it's vay, it's a code word for this concept. But when it says vayihi bimei, and it was in the days of Eina Ela Lashon Tsar, that indeed is the wording that the Anshei Knesset HaGadola codified in Jewish scripture to alert you that what's going to happen here is a difficult situation. The Gemara continues and tells us, Chamisha vayihi bimei havu. There are five places in Tanakh that the words vayihi bimei, the phrase vayihi bimei, and it was in the days of, is encountered, and vayihi in all of these cases of vayihi bimei is going to be like a contraction. It should be understood to mean vay, woe, that it's a difficult situation. Number one, our topic, vayihi bimei Achashverosh, it was in the times of Achashverosh, and they're going to encounter a death threat on the entire Jewish people. Vayihi bimei Shifot HaShoftim, it was in the time when the Jews judged their judges. The judge wasn't an authority to be listened to. Instead, when he said something, it would be challenged in a big way. It was a deterioration both from the people and from the stature of the judges. And the result would be a famine, a very difficult time. Vayihi bimei Amraphel. And it was in the times of Amraphel. This is the story of Nimrod, the five kings being attacked by the four kings. And there was a world war. And as the Pasuk describes, Avram had to stick his neck into the middle to save Lot. Vayihi bimei Achaz. It was in the times of Achaz when the enemy came forward to the Jewish kingdom to attack. It was a difficult time. Vayihi bimei Yehoyakim, and it was in the times of Yehoyakim, it was the time of Galus, of the exile starting. The Ben Yehoyada makes a fascinating observation regarding the times of Achashverosh, Megillas Esther, and Shvot HaShoftim, the book of Rus. And the way he phrases the question is he wants to know why we would list off Chamisha Vayihi B'Mehavu, there are five places of Vayihi B'Meh, and we start with books that are much later in Jewish scripture than the other cases that are being cited, which are Torah and Nevi'im. Why do we start with the Megillos? And the Ben Yoyada explains that the starting point over here is Megillas Esther, Vayihi B'Meh Achashverosh, and Vayihi B'Meh Shvot HaShoftim, the story of Rus, is very similar. The way the Ben Yehoyada describes it is that from the very crisis emerged the blessing. If they wouldn't have gone through the crisis, you wouldn't be able to anticipate that such a thing was going to happen. But Mordechai becomes viceroy. The Jews have the opportunity to kill the Amalekim, who were so diehard against them, only because Haman ascended and had a plot, and when that plot is overthrown, so they're able to achieve greatness. It's only as a result of the negative that they're able to achieve the positive. And that's how it is, the Ben Yehoyada observes, regarding Vayihi B'Meh Shvot HaShoftim. It was a terrible situation, and there was a terrible famine, but the result of it is, how else would Nami end up B'Sdei Moav to attract and connect with Rus and to bring her back? And this Rus is going to be able to marry Boaz and is going to be able to be the worthy matriarch that's going to produce a David HaMelech Shariva LaHashem B'Shiros V'Sishpachos, that through her optimism and through her upbeat and trusting nature in Hashem, she was able to create a David HaMelech. It's from the challenge that the goodness resulted. And that's the comparison, and that's why when we're done with Vayihi B'Meh Achashverosh, citing the first example, we go straight to Vayihi B'Meh Shvot HaShoftim because it's so similar, and then we go sequentially, starting from the story of Avraham with Amraphel with the World War. Let's skip down to a fascinating description of how the Amoraim began when they taught the story of Megillas Esther. Each one had a pasuk, and they presented, based on the pasuk, the theme of the Megillah. So, counting up from where we have this interesting change in length of lines on the Amud, counting up from that spot where Tosfos is there, two lines, towards the middle of a line. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni pasach lapischa lahar parshas ha-mehocha. When Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni would teach the story of Esther, he would read this pasuk. Pasuk in Yeshaya at the end of Perek Nunhei, it's also included in the Haftorah of Tainis Tzibur. Tachas ha-na'atzutz, in place of this thorny tree, Ya'aleh v'rosh, will come a prestigious tree. V'tachas ha-sirpad, and in place of this bush of thorns, Ya'aleh hadas, will come forth the myrtle, a pleasant growth. So he explained, Tachas ha-na'atzutz, this big thorn bush, Tachas Haman HaRasha, that's referring to Haman, Shatza Atzma Avodah Zorah, because he made himself into an Avodah Zorah. He wanted people to bow down to him because he held he was a deity. Dechsev, Uvachol HaNa'atzutzim, Uvachol HaNehelulim, referring to a very negative spiritual state described as thorns. Ya'aleh v'rosh, in his place, will come a strong tree, Zem Mordechai. That's referring to Mordechai, a hero in the Purim story. Shanikra Rosh L'chol Abesamim. Because the word Rosh not only refers to a tree, but it also means the word head. And Mordechai is the head of the pleasant fragrances. Shenemar, Ve'ata kach lecha besamim rosh mor deror. When it describes the besamim in the beginning of the list, it says mor deror umetargaminon morei dachi, which is like Mordechai, morei dachi. And therefore, this code word, Berosh, was understood by Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeini as perhaps in poetic liberty, Drush. It was referring to Mordechai replacing Haman. The pasuk continued, Tachas asir padyal, Tachas vashti ha-resha'a, bas benoshal Nebuchadnezzar ha-rasha, Vashti, who was Achashverosh's first queen in the Purim story. So she's referred to as sirpa, this lowly thorn bush. The word sirpad is shesoraf refidas beis Hashem. She's a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king who destroyed the first beis hamikdash. Refidas, the resting place of Hashem, the beis hamikdash. Dechsiv refidaso zahav, that Hashem's resting place is like gold. So in place of the Sirpad, the one who destroyed the Refid, the resting place of Hashem, Yala Hadas, will come the Hadas, and that doesn't need much drush, because we know that was Esther's name. Zu Esther Atzadekesh, Nikras Hadasa. She's known as Hadasa, Shnem, as the Pasuk says, Vayihi Omen Es Hadasa, and Mordechai raised Hadasa, he Esther, same person as Esther, that's one of her names. The pasuk concludes, and Rav Shmuel Bal Nachmeni continued in his introduction to Megillas Esther, V'haya l'Hashem l'shem, it will be to Hashem a name. We're going to declare Hashem's name, Zumikra Megillah. This is the story of the Megillah. It is a hidden miracle, and Hashem's name is not found in the Megillah. But if you know to look for it, you see that Hashem is orchestrating all the situations to play his game out exactly the way he wants it. Vashti is positioned and then removed. Haman is positioned. He's removed when Hashem wills it so. Esther was positioned. Mordechai takes Haman's place. Everything is done. L'Hashem l'Shem. We recognize Hashem's presence through the story of the Megillah. As an aside, we're told that wherever it says the word Hamelech, the king, as opposed to HaMelech Achashverosh, the King Achashverosh, if it only says HaMelech, the King, it could be read in two different ways. Simple reading is referring to Achashverosh, but the sophisticated way is to realize that if it only says HaMelech, it's a code word for Hashem. HaMelech, the King, was doing whatever is being described in the Pasuk. And the final words, Le'os Olam Lo Yikares. Megillas Esther and the story of Purim, its commemoration, will be a sign forever. Elu Yimei Purim, this is referring to Purim, about which it is said, V'zichrom lo yosef mizaram, that even though it's rabbinic and even though it's commemorating a specific one-time event in history, but it was zichrom lo yosef mizaram, the memory, the mitzvah of Purim, will never be removed from the Jewish people. It's codified, as the Rambam says, in a permanent way, as part of mitzvahs of the Jewish people. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.